visit for the wedding. Next week, this is the last Sunday I'm seeing you before we go, because next week I'm working, next Sunday, and Sunday after we're traveling. Jenny sends his apologies because he can't sit, he has to be going home because he hurt his back, that's why he's not with us today. And I know I'll be back by God's grace, just in case. I love you guys.
We love you too, Beth.
Thank you. I love you guys.
We love you too, Beth.
Okay, last time, love Jesus. I really love you guys.
We love you.
Praise God. It's wonderful. The Lord has blessed us to meet with you guys. We're going to look, I'm just reading at the moment Matthew, so I'm just going to share what I'm looking at in Matthew chapter 22. I think it's one of the scripture that is familiar for non-Christians, and sometimes they also use it, most of the time out of the context, but that's how it is. We're looking at Matthew 22, verse 15 to 22. It's also mentioned in recorded in Mark chapter 12 and in Luke chapter 20, and it's about paying taxes to Caesar. Can someone kindly read from 22 of Matthew, verse 15 to end of 22? Anyone?
Paying the imperial tax to Caesar. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought the denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this and whose inscription? Jesus, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Philipsia. These are new glasses, so bear with me. It says in verse 15, then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him. In his words, they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. It's amazing that it's almost the beginning of the whole, what we call the Holy Week for Jesus in this timetable. And it's amazing how two different groups now being united in their not agreeing with Jesus, who Jesus is, and also with his very unconventional teaching. So we can say they were offended by. So the Pharisees and Herodians, they are very different, and they came together because they are offended by Jesus. That was the common thing between them, because the Pharisees are the one, they are presenting the strictest adherence of the law, the written and the oral law, which is a bit concerning, because oral law is, they will look at some scholars who very good in words and how they interpret the law, and they will hold on to that more than the written law. So that was the challenge. When Jesus was challenging them, they were offended. While the Herodians principle, the rule of Romans and the Herods who were in charge, hence the name Herodians. So they're very different. These are very religious and these are almost secular, happy with being under the Roman Empire. And suddenly they found a common ground, and that is being offended by the Lord Jesus and his unconventional teaching. So they come together to Jesus and ask him this one. Before they ask, they lay in the way. It's contradicting themselves. They know he will not listen to this. What do you call it in English when someone prays you just because they want to get something from you? So,
Flattery.
Thank you. Yes, or buttery. So they are flattering him, knowing that it will not affect him. Yet they are trying to flatter him and say, you know, you're not swayed by people's opinion. You don't worry about what people think of you. You love God and you teach the truth and all of that. So tell us then, based on that, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay tax to Caesar or not? And what I'm amazed is, they thought, both of the groups, we are gonna get him this time, whatever the answer is, because there's two different answers he can give, yeah? So the Pharisees thinking, we will accuse him that he is supporting the Roman occupation over his own people when he says we should pay taxes to Herod's. And the Herodians are saying, if he says no, we shouldn't, because we are Jews and they are, what is the word, occupying us, the Romans are occupying us, we can accuse him, he's causing trouble against the earthly government. And there you go, we're going to have him this time. But in verse 19 and 20, he says, Lord Jesus, knowing their intentions and telling them, I know you're here to you know, lay a snare for me. Show me a coin. So they showed him a coin, and he said, whose image is on this coin, and what is the inscription? It was obvious. They said, Caesar's. So I stopped here, I'm thinking, why would Jesus ask a very obvious question? That's how I read my Bible, he didn't. Why would Jesus ask something that's obvious and everybody knows? I think he was actually wanting to bring their attention to what is beyond the actual metal. So the coin is the metal that had the face and inscription that Herod's. But what Jesus was drawing their attention is beyond that coin metal, this coin actually is saying there is Herod, so there is a king. There is a kingdom and there is an authority. And in the same way, you, by looking at yourself, you will testify there is a king, there is a different government, and there is a different authority. And I think that's what, when, thank God, thank you Lord, that he did not stop when he said, give to Caesar what belongs to him. If he stopped, we would be in trouble. And if he would say, give to God what belongs to God, we will be in trouble. Because what they wanted is either this or that. I'm going to explain a little bit more if I can. Please, Lord, help me. What he said is, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. And it's obvious, this is just something you give. But yourself you give to God. And when they heard this, they were astonished with this teaching. But what does this mean to us? Why he asked an obvious question, unless he want to reveal what is not obvious for them, and then for us too. I remember the thing, what you can take from this, which is face value, yet you pay your taxes without grumbling or complaining. I can testify, I've been here almost 30 years among you, I never heard one of you complaining by the tax. However,
less tax, we pay less tax. But we notice when we gathered, most of the time people are complaining about tax money, not knowing them. We realized later that they all high earners, they were and they are still, praise God. And that was the reason they were paying a lot of tax. I know this is not about tax, I'm just sharing this. Something happened in our hearts, me and Gabby. We were still waiting to hear from the home office. We were not allowed to work. And we said in our hearts, it was like the Lord was saying to us. And we said in our hearts, and we had a small words between us, and we said, we're going to take any job. We would rather work and pay tax, and Lord help us that we will not complain. And the Lord has been faithful, enabled us not to complain about tax. But my question is this just about tax? What does then, thank you, Ruth, no, it's not. So what is the Spirit saying to us? What does this mean to us today? Jesus made it clear that there is two kingdoms in the same time. And there's two authorities at the same time. One of them, I can say it's earthly, like we have a government, and one of them is heavenly. How does these two kingdoms relate to each other in our lives as Christians? Sometimes I was brought up in a very traditional Christianity. So sometimes, wrongly, we will have different compartments to our life. So this is secular, this is the kingdom of earth, and this is spiritual, this is the kingdom of God. So we will go on Sunday to the church and we rejoice. By the way, I always choose rejoicing songs in the beginning of the service, because I remember when I was young, that's telling how old I am now, just telling to you the stories. We would be so excited when we were children going to church. My goodness, I remember that excitement, wearing clean clothes and clean shoes and everything is clean and tidy. And we go in, and sometimes we will walk miles to the church, because there was one church where we lived that we belonged to, according to denomination, sadly. Anyway, but I remember there was excitement in our hearts to go to the church. But then Monday comes and that excitement disappears. We had some relatives, they would be praying and fasting more than me, so that is the religious sector of their life, the religious compartment of their life. And then other days they will go to fortune tellers or medicine doctor. We don't have medicine doctor in Iraq, but other nations have, so just an example. So we almost have separated these two kingdoms. So I do this and I do that for God. I give this to the Caesar and I give this to God. Now, I don't get it from this reading that that's what Jesus means. I think that's my understanding from scripture. You don't have to agree with me. The reason I'm sharing is that you go and read and you find your own finding on what the Holy Spirit is saying. I think Jesus is saying, imagine this is us, and the Herod and the earthly government is here, and then godly government is here. It is not separate. Do you get what I'm saying? So literally, we are under the government, earthly government, but the kingdom of God is above. So whatever I do here matters to God. It's not that I have separate life, secular and spiritual life for the glory of God. We can't think like that. And it has been in the church, not when I say church, I mean the church of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere, including this nation. We have to be very careful. I mean, we find it in our language. We say, I'm working. Oh, are you serving the Lord? Yes, part-time. But we say it. It sometimes is to explain what we are doing. So I understand. We don't take it, we are not offended by it. And sometimes I would say, I'm working part-time, but I was thinking, if I am a mother, can I be a part-time mother? I can't. So can we be part-time Christians? Then we cannot separate the two lives we have. It is actually one life, under the earthly government and godly government. Can I share a scripture just to, if it's not clear, so I hope the scripture will help us to look at it. In the prayers of the Lord Jesus to his Father and our fathers in John 15. This is before he goes to the cross. And this is his prayers, which I'm understanding actually we are under two governments at the same time. This is Jesus praying, saying, John 17, I'm reading from 14 to 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking you that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I think that is clear. We are living in the world, but we are not of this world. Then 17, verse 17, I just thank the Lord for this. Sanctify them by your truth. And then Jesus, as if it's not clear, your word is the truth. So while we are under this government, we are led by this government to live a sanctified life. Whatever I do under this government matters. I'm doing good, I will always strive to be a good citizen according to the law, because there is a governing body that I worship and adore. And actually, if we genuinely love this government and respect them and honor them in our prayers, as the scripture says, we should be good citizens. However, there is only one condition that we may consider be not abiding by the law when it comes to preaching and teaching the word of God. So in Acts 15, if you look at Acts 15, so you know what I mean. This is when they were put in prison and told them, do not preach by that name, the name of Jesus that we were singing all this morning. What a joy to us to sing that. And then what happened next? They were found in the court of the temple preaching the name of Jesus. So Peter and disciples were brought before the Sanhedrin to give an account. Because to them, it does not make sense. To the Sanhedrin members, it does not make sense. We warned you. We put you in jail. We warned you not to do this. And you're causing trouble and you're still preaching the gospel and still preaching that name. What was his answer? We know it. It's Acts 15:29. We must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. If people did not obey God rather than man, we would have not have received the gospel today. If people do not obey God rather than man, we do not have the persecution of the church. We will not have martyrs. We are called to be excellent citizens here on earth, because we should set the example, because we belong to the kingdom of heaven. Yeah? But when it comes directly against the Lord and his righteousness, we are to not dilute or compromise the faith we are carrying in our hearts in the Lord Jesus. 3 months ago, there's a young lady, I hardly know her, I just read her story, in Iraq. she was stabbed to death by her family members, and she was only 20. Why? Because she obeyed God more than them. She was from a different background, religious background, given into marriage by given to marriage at a very young age, and then left her husband after she was 12, left her husband when she was 16. Know the Lord, worship the Lord, cannot but speak of the Lord, and she was taken to the Lord while she was 20. Glory to God. Was she saying, I'm not going to obey the law of the land because I am a rebellious person? Or was she saying, I cannot compromise on the truth and the righteousness of God? Mm-hmm. I think that is the point over our lives. And yes, I'm standing here and I am the most sinful person here, and I mean it because the Lord knows what I have been capable of. So I'm not standing here like a saint. And I know this is difficult, but with God, all things are possible. He's not demanding this of us and say, get on with it. That is a mere religious, dead religious requirement. When they say, go, clean yourself, wash, do this, do that, maybe God will accept you. God has accepted us by faith in Christ Jesus. The call upon our life is, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, which will be tiny, minute, comparing about what we give to the Lord, because we belong to the Lord. We're living in this world. We're not part of this world. Does not mean I have to live in an odd way. It's the opposite. I have to live in a normal street. I go to ordinary place of work so we can shine His light in that place. This is hilarious what I'm going to say. If this is the last sharing I'm doing with you, I want you to hold on to Jesus. Do not compromise your faith in Him. The church is not to voice her own voice. The church is to voice the truth and the righteousness of God wherever it goes. And that comes into our nitty and gritty life. Whatever decisions we need to make, am I following the way of the world or am I following the way of the Lord? Hold on to faith in Christ Jesus, because there will be time, and it is among us when we are working in secular places, we're noticing how life is changing in a very compromising way to the Word of God. And there will be times that we will stand and say, this is not what the Word says. Because I hear it at work, they say to me, well, the church should move on with the modern lives. And I'm thinking, what? Church is not there to move with the modern way of life. Church is the herald that speaks what the Word of God says, that is preaching, and teach how the Word applies to our lives. Praise God. One thing which is obvious and you're thinking about is we have a duty. Because we are here, the government of earth is here and the earthly government is here. Who will be praying for them? Who will be lifting this government to God? Those people who are holding the government. You and I are holding the earthly government by prayers and supplications and lobbying. They're not intertwined and they're not separate. Remember which kingdom you belong to. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's bow our head. Father, how can we not love you? Jesus, how can we not adore you? Holy Spirit, how can we live without you? we repeat what Tony was saying this morning. May the meditation, may the words of our mouth and meditation of our heart be pleasing to you. That we will not lose sight of who we are just by living in this world. Help us to give you our lives, our devotion, our times, our loving, our way of conducting our homes, our relationships, and also continually praying for the government, lobbying the government, being the voice for those who do not have voice, yet living a life that can be an example for others. I pray, Lord, that this word bring conviction to my own heart, just as I am asking for my brothers and sisters. And just as these people came to trick you, you know what I mean, Lord. You reached out in love and showed them that their focus was in the wrong place. Help us to be like that. People will come and demand direct, short answer. Will you give us the Holy Spirit to speak with your wisdom, not with our own? That even when we answer, we are reaching out to those who are desperate for you, to those who we love. We love so much that you will give us the courage to not compromise on the truth of righteousness and holiness of God. We ask you this in the precious name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.